I'm Amy Eddings. It's WNYC's Financial 411, our take on the economic news of the day. Economic growth at the end of 2010 was slower than many analysts predicted. The Commerce Department says the gross domestic product grew at an annual rate of 3.2% in the last 3 months of last year. That's below forecasts of 3.5%. Still, an economist with Moody's Analytics noted a growing demand for American products and services and declared the U.S. economy is back. Live footage of Egyptians storming government buildings rattled markets today. There have also been protests in Sana'a, the capital of Yemen. Even though neither country produces much oil, investors worry the unrest could spread to petroleum-producing countries nearby. And that sent the price of a barrel of oil surging more than $3.50 to just under 90 bucks a barrel. The VIX, which measures investor anxiety, shot up 20%. It was its largest daily percentage increase since June. In trading today, the Dow closed at 11,824, a loss of 166 points, more than 1%. The NASDAQ lost 68 points, ending at 2,687, and the S&P 500 declined 23 points to 1,276. This week, there were cheers in the Swiss Alps as the glitterati of international finance learned the Dow passed the 12,000 mark, at least briefly. Here at home, 1.3 million Long Islanders lost direct control of their county's budget books, and the owners of the New York Mets say they're considering selling off some of their stake in the team. We will review the week's business and economic news now with Greg David, director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Amy.
Big news today. The Wilpon family, which has controlled the New York Mets since the 1980s, is considering selling off a portion of their ownership stake. The family made tens of millions of dollars with Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, and the court-appointed trustee wants to claw back those profits. I guess the Wilpons must take this threat very seriously.
Right. And you know, this is a great example. Never believe what they tell you. As soon as it became clear that the Wilpons were involved in the Madoff situation, people have been asking them, what effect will this have on the team? At one point, we thought they had losses. They said, we're fine. There won't be any effect on the team. Then we found out they actually were what are called net winners. They took more money out of the scheme than they put in. They told us, oh, we'll still be fine. Today we find out they're not going to be fine. You know, people like the Wilpons get so angry when reporters keep pressing them for answers. I think this is a good question, a good example of how reporters should keep pressing them.
It may be too early to speculate, but who might see a share in this team as an attractive offer?
Oh, I think there are endless numbers of people. But the question is, can they really dictate the terms of the sale? You know, George Steinbrenner had partners at the Yankees, too. And one of them said once, there's nothing more limited in life than being a limited partner of the Yankees. Are the Wilpons in that kind of position? I don't know. We'll see. But once this process gets underway, you put the team up for sale, you need some money, the Wilpons may not be in control of the end of this.
Really? Even though Fred Wilpon says the family will remain principal and controlling owners?
And a few months ago, he said that the Madoff situation would have no impact. Come on.
This will be interesting. The Dow passed the 12,000 mark briefly this week, although it lost a lot of ground today because of the unrest in Egypt. Still, stocks are up about 2,000 points since the end of August. Which investors are benefiting most from the surge?
Professional investors. And here's why. You know, individual investors have been fleeing the stock market for the last several years. And this is very important because the individual investors' retirement savings took an enormous hit in the crisis. And they haven't been participating in the way they could in the rebound. And that's not good long term for them and not necessarily for the economy. And, you know, individual investors just don't call the market right. So they'll be back, but they may be back. They've already missed such a big rise.
Yeah. Also this week, Nassau County, home to over 1 million people, one of the wealthiest counties in the nation, one of the highest taxed suburbs in the country, it lost control of its finances. A state-appointed control board will now oversee its budget. How did Nassau County end up in such a mess?
Remember Al D'Amato? You see, Al D'Amato ran Nassau County and the Republican establishment. They built a big patronage machine. They made deals with the unions. They did the things too many Republicans in New York State have done. and it's bankrupt. You know, they pay the highest police salaries in, like, the world. And so it's been poorly run. Tom Suozzi, a Democrat, spent 8 years trying to fix it. Then he didn't pay enough attention to property taxes. He got voted out. But the Republican county executive represents the old kind of Republicans. Make deals with unions, phantom revenues, don't affect the thing. It's not that way everywhere. It's not that way in Westchester, where Rob Astorino represents a new kind of Republican. Look, Nassau County is so wealthy, it represents all that's been bad in New York state government.
Greg David, Director of the Business and Economics Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.
Same to you.
Get the 411 as a podcast. Sign up. Go to our website, wnyc.org. This is WNYC.